James chapter 4. I only want to read from James, to start with, two verses, but then show you illustrations from the Old and New Testament, what James means by these two verses, and also what he does not mean by these two verses. So James chapter 4, and look at verse 11. James 4:11. Speak not one against another. I'll tell you as I go along, the word is katalaleo, and kata just means against. Evil, they interpret. If you're speaking against a person, they say you're speaking evil against a person, but the word literally is just speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaketh against a brother, or judgeth his brother, speaketh against the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. One is the lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you that judgest thy neighbor? The first thing I'm going to do for you is to tell you that just as in Matthew where it says, judge not that you be not judged, it does not mean that you are never to judge. It does not mean that when someone like David commits adultery with Bathsheba, you don't judge him. You haven't judged him. His sin is plain. His sin is evident, and the Word of God judges him. And when he committed murder, you're not judging him. You're simply pronouncing the pronouncement of God's words upon him. Now, in like manner, when it says, speak not one against another, that means if you ever do anything wrong, I can't say anything against you. Because if I do, you can say that verse to me, speak not one against another. Why, that has happened just recently. Someone said, you're judging. Whereas a sin that had been committed was so evident, I simply stated a fact of a sin that is committed. So whenever someone is in the wrong, they seem to know Matthew chapter 7, and after the night they'll know a little bit about James 4 when it says, speak not one against another, speak not evil one against another, and also judge not that you be not judged. But I'm going to show you from other references in the Word of God that it does not mean what you think it means, never speak against another, because the Word of God tells us to speak against another. Turn first of all to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Keep your place here because we'll be returning. But Luke chapter 17, and let's see if our Savior interprets this passage the way most people would think it should be interpreted. It says this, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Now, what does the Savior do, say that we are to do when our brother sins? Speak not against him. It says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. So there must be some understanding between speak not one against another. When the Savior says, if your brother sins, do speak against him. It says in Matthew 18, if your brother sin against thee, go tell him his fault. So here are two scriptures, but I want you to see others as well. Not only Luke chapter 17, but turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. And look at verse 2. This is what I'm exhorted to do. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. If I took James 4:11 literally, I could never reprove you. I could never rebuke you. Why? Because I'm speaking against you. So he does not mean that at all. Turn to Titus. Turn to Titus, chapter 1, and look at verse 12, speaking about Cretans. It said, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, idle gluttons. This testimony is true. For which cause, reprove them sharply, that they be sound in the faith. What does that tell you to do? It says, to rebuke sharply those that sin. And also, in 1 Timothy 5, for the sake of time, I will tell you, it says, even if elders sin, they are to be rebuked. Why? That others may realize that they cannot get away with sin and fear. And so I've given you all of these references telling us that we are speaking against a brother. But if this is so, it must mean something other than just speaking rightful rebukes against sins that are committed. And what it's talking about is just the opposite. It says, speak not one against another if what your brother is doing is not contrary to the word of God. Would you remember that? You have no right to speak one word against me unless you can show me from God's word that what I'm doing is wrong. And if what I am doing is wrong, God's word exhorts you to speak against me. So you say, then, what is spoken of here is not the prohibition to rebuke a brother that sins. The Lord Jesus tells us to do that. But to speak against a brother that is falsely accused of sinning. I want you to remember that. I'll see in a moment if you understand. Turn to Numbers now in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 12. I'm going to give you examples from the Old and from the New Testament of speaking against your brother the way that James is talking about and not the way that the Lord Jesus tells us to rebuke our brother. Look at Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. All right, and look at verse 2. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only with Moses? Hath he not also spoken with us? Now the man Moses was very meek, and the Lord heard what they said, meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out you three unto the tent of meeting. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, and stood at the door of the tent, and called Aaron and Miriam. And they came forth, both of them. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak, mouth to mouth, and even manifestly, and not in dark speeches. And the form of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, hear the very words, to speak against. And they spoke against Moses, and God himself came down from heaven and rebuked them for speaking against Moses. Why? Because what Moses had done was not wrong, and it was none of their business if they didn't like what he did. Now, if I marry a Japanese or a French woman or a Chinese woman, you might not like it. But it's none of your business, and God's word does not prohibit the marriage of a man with a woman like that. You say, well, I do not believe in the marriage between races. That's none of your business. If God's word says you are not to do it, that is one thing. If God's word does not forbid it, and you say one word against the person who does, you're speaking against one of your brothers. And that is what God is condemning. Now, if I or anyone were going to marry a divorced person, and I was going to commit adultery, yes, you should speak against me. And if you find out that a person is in an adulterous union, yes, you speak against that person. But if you speak against a person who is married, and there is nothing the Bible says against that marriage, then you are violating what God said in James 4:11. Now turn to chapter 16. Chapter 16. And look at verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the congregation, called to the assembly, men of renown. And they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And they said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the assembly of the Lord. Now, here again are individuals, brothers, speaking against a brother. Answer me this. Who made Moses the prophet, and who made Aaron the priest? You say, God did. And who made those other Levites that were not descended from the family of Aaron, servants of the tabernacle, and not priests of the tabernacle? You say, God did. Then, when Korah and those that followed him rose up and said to Moses and Aaron, you take too much upon yourselves, they are sitting in judgment upon God who put them in that position. Now, if someone like Diotrephes, that you find in the third epistle of John, has exalted himself, God expects you to speak against him, to condemn the man. But when God has placed a man in a certain position, and you speak against him, God will come and judge you for it. Are you beginning to see now? It does not mean that you're not to speak against a brother if he sins, but it means that if you have no scriptural warrant of speaking against that brother, I don't like the person you married, then you're speaking against your brother if the scripture doesn't forbid it. When you say, you have too high a position in this place or that place, and God's word is placed there and does not forbid it, then you're sinning. You have spoken against your brother. Now, let's look in the New Testament. Look in the New Testament at verse, first, let's say Acts 11, first of all. Acts 11. And you remember that Peter had been taught of God in chapter 10. The Lord Jesus gave him special revelation from heaven that he should go and preach the word of life to Cornelius and his household. And he did exactly what God told him to do. Now look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. Now, what are they doing? You say, they're speaking against a brother. Speaking against him for what reason? For doing something they said was wrong, but God from heaven had told Peter was right. And Peter had obeyed God, and they were speaking against their brother, not because he was doing wrong, but because they thought he was doing wrong. I want you to remember this. There are many things that you may think people are doing wrong, but they're not doing wrong. But if they're committing adultery, yes, you can point it out. If they are drunkards, yes, you can point it out. If they are thieves, yes, you can point it out. But that is not speaking against your brother. That is speaking in obedience, reproving and rebuking, and telling what is wrong. And God tells us to do the one and not to do the other. All right, let's look, and this is so important now, in 1 Peter. I want us to see how some have spoken against the children of God in a wrong way. 1 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse 12. Verse 11 for connection. Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your behavior becoming among the Gentiles, that wherein they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, what are the Christians doing here? You say they're doing good works. And what are their critics doing? Criticizing them for the good works that they are doing. I see. Now, turn also in Peter to chapter 3, and let's look at verse 16. 3:16. Having a good conscience, that wherein you are spoken against, they may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ. What's being spoken against here? You say, a good manner of life in Christ. Well, is that right or wrong? You say it has to be wrong. If sin is spoken against, that is right. If a good manner of life or something that is allowed by the Scripture is spoken against, that is wrong, and that's what God wants you to know. Now, turn to Romans 14, and I want you to remember these examples, because you'll find yourself, if you're not careful, doing the same thing, sinning when you think you're doing the will of God. Look at verse 1 of Romans 14. Him that is weak in faith, receive ye, yet not thought decision of scruples. One man hath faith to eat all things, but he that is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who are you that judgeth the servant of another? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, the Lord is Lord. He's made his one man esteemeth, in verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike, that each man be fully assured in his own mind. Now, you're not minding your business if you think one day is holier than another, because some think one day is holier than another. Another person thinks every day is equally holy to the Lord. And the Word of God says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And so if I'm persuaded that one day is holier than another, you have no right to come to me and say, that day is not holier than another. And if you think every day is holy, I have no right to come to you and say, no, this day that I think is holy, that is the day that is holiest. You understand? It says, God has received both, and you are criticizing a person in an area in which you have no business to speak. So, unless you are absolutely sure from the Word of God, do not condemn a man. Let me tell you this. There was a dear Christian friend who, when the mention of wine being drunken is mentioned, immediately they rebuke and condemn and speak evil against that person for drinking a little wine. And yet the Word of God says that Timothy was to use a little wine for his stomach's sake. It says that even the authorities in the church were not to be given to much wine. They could use a little wine in moderation. And if you come and tell a man he should not drink wine, then you are speaking against the brother who is doing something that God's Word allows him to do. Now, I do not do such things. I do not do it. But I have no right to speak to a person who, if he sat down to a meal and had a glass of wine, it is none of my business to rebuke that man. Why? Because God's Word says there is nothing wrong with that. Now, if there is overindulgence and the man gets drunk, yes. And I might go and say, brother, God gives you liberty to drink a little wine in moderation. But I want you to understand that that drinking of wine could cause some people to stumble. It could cause young people to go astray. And it could give a bad testimony to others round about who are unsaved. Not because it's wrong, but that you might save souls and have a better testimony. Would you refrain from using wine? You see the difference? I'm acknowledging that he has a right to do it, but I'm telling you that it is going to stumble someone and prevent them from being saved, then it's turned into something that is wrong. So you have no right to rebuke the man for the use of wine. But there are some who would take you, sign a pledge, and would condemn you if you were doing the very thing that God's Word allows you to do. And did you know this? I will tell you, and I hope that none of you use wine except perhaps as a little appetizer before a meal or for your stomach's sake, a medicinal use. You realize that when the Lord Jesus was at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, that he made 100 gallons and more of wine and gave it to them. You say, how do you know that? Because what it literally says, when the chief of the feast tasted the water now become wine, he literally said this. Ordinarily, when you have a feast, people put out good wine first, and then when those who have drunk it are drunk, they put out the poor wine because they can't tell any difference then. You see? And so let's rebuke our Lord for turning that water into wine. He is causing these people to sin. You cannot do that. So do you see the folly, and do you see the sins that you're committing in speaking against your brethren, against what they do? It's like this, and I'll bring this up now as well. When I'm here speaking to you, I wear a coat and a tie. But you would never let the Lord Jesus come up here and speak to you because he never wore a coat and a tie. Do you understand? And so if you say, you must wear a coat and a tie, you are demanding a dress code that is wrong. But if women come in partially clad, exposed, and men come in such a way that they are attracting to themselves and detracting from the Lord, yes, you can speak about it. But if a man is neat and well-groomed, yes, he may stand and represent the people. But you have no right to insist that he wears a coat and a tie when he represents you. I'm glad if he does, if he looks neat. But if he doesn't, it makes no difference. And so these are things that we speak against the children of God, and the Bible condemns it. Speak not one against another. If there is a law that I have broken according to the Word of God, rebuke me, tell me my sin. But if you do not like what I do, but you cannot find anything wrong in the Word of God, then rebuke your own heart. Why? I'll show you why now. Turn back to James 4, and you'll see why. People do not realize what is happening when they do it. But look at verse 11. Speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaketh against a brother, or judgeth his brother, speaketh against the law, and judgeth the law. You see, if you speak against your brother, and the law is permitting him to do what you forbid him to do, then you're speaking against the law of God. And so, if one man says, I do not believe I should eat pork, and another man says, I believe that I should eat pork, you have to decide according to the Word of God what is right and what is wrong. And if he is weak in the faith and he doesn't eat meat because he thinks he's going to be contaminated, then God's Word says, do not judge the man. Receive him and teach him the way of God more perfectly. And so when you say anything against the man that you do not like, that the Word of God allows, you are speaking against the law of God. Will you remember that? If someone wants to commit an adulterous marriage, and you condone that and say, well, this innocent person did not know about it, yes, they will be committing adultery, you are sinning. Because God's Word says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And if you say, well, I think in this case, this person should be allowed to get married and commit adultery, you are speaking against the law. Do you see that? So the only thing you can speak against is what the law forbids. And if you speak against anything that the law, the Word of God, does not forbid, you're speaking against God's Word. And this is what I'm thinking about. When some come and Paul says, I permit not a woman to speak. I tell her to remain silent. Let the women be silent in the churches. And some come and say, I do not believe that. That is exaltation of man. You are speaking against the law, the Word of God. Because Paul did not invent it. This is what he says in Romans. He says, if any man thinketh that he is a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge that what I say unto you is the commandment of the Lord. And so when he disagrees with the commandment of the Lord, he's disagreeing with the law, the written word of God. And so anytime you criticize a person that is doing something that is scriptural, you're criticizing the law. And what you're saying is that my thoughts and my legislations are better than those that God has written in his law. You see the folly of that? Now, look again at chapter 4, verse 11, because it says this. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And this is why, even though so many men admire Thomas Jefferson, a brilliant man, a great help to the government, but the man is one that should be completely condemned because he went through all the Gospels, and when our Savior spoke words that he said, I do not believe he should speak those words, he took them out of the Gospel. No, he should not have said this. He took them out of the Gospel. And that is precisely what you are doing if you say, why, I believe that it's perfectly legitimate for a woman to speak in the church. Why, I believe it's perfectly in order for a woman to rule over a man. Then what you're doing is condemning and speaking against the law of God. And the Bible says, forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. And the Savior says, not one jot or one tittle of this law shall be taken away until all is accomplished. So for that reason, when you condemn a person that is doing something that's scriptural, you are speaking against the word of God. And you are saying, I have something better than what God has put in his word. You see the presumption of that? Now look at it. That's why it says this. But you, who are you? And so when I think of it, that I have the inspired scriptures, but I am trying to improve on these scriptures and give various and different teachings from what is here, then I'm sitting in judgment on the law, and I'm not a doer of the law, but I've become a judge of the law. It is never your business to go through the Bible and say, I should do this, and I should not do that. I should do this, and I should not do that. If there are 10 commandments, God in the Old Testament expected you to keep them all. And if God says, thou shalt not kill, you are not to kill. And if you are not to steal, you are not to steal. And if you change that, then you are judging the word of God. Now, look and show you what place is only God's. Verse 12. One only is the lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you that judges your brother, your neighbor, the other one? Who are you? Notice what you've done. It says, one only is the lawgiver. And so take your place and repent in sackcloth and ashes and say, oh God, forgive me. You are the lawgiver. You tell me to do the law. I'm not one to judge the law. I'm one to do the law. And it says, if you vary from that, you are not a doer of the law, but you are a judge of the law. And you displace the position that God has. One is lawgiver and judge. So when God gives the law, it is not to be changed. And when God gives the decision that's to be made, God is the one who made that decision. Now, look at this. I want you to see it. It says, he is able to save and to destroy. I want to show you something that will be helpful, because some, don't lose your place, but turn to Matthew 10 now. Matthew 10. People have misinterpreted this verse, but James clarifies it for us. 10:28. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so some people say, fear the devil. Fear him. He's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That is giving the prerogative to Satan. That is the prerogative of God. Now keep that in mind and turn back to James 4 again and look at it. Verse 12. One only is the lawgiver and judge, not the Pope of Rome, not any man who sits upon a seat of authority and says, I'm adding this to the word of God. He who is able to save and to destroy. The only one who is able to save a soul is God. And the only one who is able to destroy a soul by relegating that soul to hell is God. Satan has no power to cast into hell. He has no power to save. God has that power. And so be insulted by these words. Who are you who is presumed to take the place of God? God alone can save and can destroy. Because if a person does something that is contrary to your thinking about the Bible, but the Bible allows it, what power do you have to destroy him? You say, why none. I can try to ruin his reputation. And what power do you have to send him to hell? You say, I have no power. Then this is what God is trying to do, to bring us to our senses. So, speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaketh against his brother or judgeth his brother speaketh against the law and judgeth the law. So it's no simple thing. When you speak something that is not contained in the scripture, you're speaking against the law of God and you're usurping the position that is God's alone. Yes, if sin is committed, speak against that sin. But if the word of God is obeyed and you cannot show that it's wrong from the word of God, speak not, brethren, one against another. Let us pray. Now, Father, would you forgive us for speaking words against one another that should never be spoken because we think that something is wrong, but your word does not say it's wrong. And bring to our senses that when we do that, we are saying that we know better than the law of God. And then, Father, we are saying that our wisdom is greater than yours, and we would usurp your position. In a measure, we are saying like Satan, I will be like the Most High. But our Father, who are we to judge the things that God has already decided? So let us not speak against one another unless there is a valid scriptural reason. But our Father, let us hold our peace, and let us be merciful, and let us speak words of encouragement, our God, and help one another. Let us know the scripture, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.